Welcome to Harvest Beyond Sunday, a podcast that seeks to inform and equip the members of Harvest Church, as well as celebrate what God is doing in and through our body. This week, Graham and Wes define spiritual gifts and give bite-sized breakdowns of the more popular gifts mentioned in Scripture.
Before we even begin, Wes, I just want to ask you, when you hear spiritual gifts, what are some of the first things that come to your mind?
I think, number one, it's a gift, and it's an exciting gift that you receive, but it's only for believers. These are not gifts that unbelievers have. So the first thing that comes to my mind, you have to have a relationship with Jesus in order to receive one of these spiritual gifts.
Yeah, that's great. And I would say, you know, for me personally, you know, when I've heard of spiritual gifts, and I think what I hear from a lot of members when they hear spiritual gifts, there might be some confusion and doubt and wonder of what these actually are and how they apply to their life.
Yeah, there's no doubt there's a ton of discussion and theological implications behind the gifts and a lot of differing opinions. And so no wonder there's a little bit of confusion. But in the end, there's a simplicity to it as well, a simplicity that we're going to get to as we define and tell about the purpose of these gifts.
Yep, exactly. And before we dive into defining spiritual gifts, I wanted to let everyone know the primary resource, and there are many, but the primary resource that we're using to guide our discussion is a book called Spiritual Gifts by Thomas Schreiner. Thomas Schreiner is a professor at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, and I found this book to be very helpful in helping me wrap my mind around the spiritual gifts. Like I said, it's not the only resource. There are a lot of resources out there, but this is probably one of the best. And we will add a link to it in our show notes, an Amazon link where you can go pick up a copy if you would like to read it for yourself. But this will be the guide. And I'll go ahead and say this. The topic of spiritual gifts is very vast, and there are a lot of opinions on this topic. And so this is just one of them. And it doesn't necessarily reflect Harvest Church's full opinion on spiritual gifts. And so with that, we're not going to go super scholarly in our discussion, but we will scratch the surface. And my hope is that this would encourage you to do a deeper study into the spiritual gifts for yourself.
It's important for us to remember that discussions on spiritual gifts are not tier one levels of doctrine. You know, so tier one levels are the Trinity, the Word, Christ is in His atonement, and those types of things. And so this discussion is lower down on the tiers of doctrine. So we can put our arms around other brothers and sisters that have different views around the spiritual gifts. And so that's a humility we need to take as we process and understand this, what the Scriptures say about our spiritual gifts.
Absolutely. And these are open, like Wes said, they're open-handed. So, and that's the approach we're going to have with this as we study the spiritual gifts together. So let me go ahead and offer a definition for spiritual gifts. And here they are. This is Thomas Schreiner's definition. Spiritual gifts are gifts of grace granted by the Holy Spirit, which are designed for the edification of the church. I'll read that one more time. The spiritual gifts are gifts of grace granted by the Holy Spirit, which are designed for the edification of the church. And this is important to note that the gifts aren't designed to help yourself, but are given to serve and build up others inside the church. So let's take a look at what the Scriptures say about spiritual gifts. And with Noah and his incredible voice, we are going to have him read these verses. And so, Noah, go ahead and read these verses for us.
All righty, guys. So we're going to start with Romans 12, 6 through 8.
And we're reading this in the ESV as well.
That's right. In the ESV, picking up in verse 6, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in his generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Next, we have 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. Then we have 1 Corinthians 12:28. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. And then finally, Ephesians 4:11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers.
Excellent. Thank you, Noah. And so we see several spiritual gifts given to us here. Schreiner takes the approach of he is only going to break down the ones specifically mentioned in Scripture, and they are teaching, faith, healing and miracles, distinguishing between spirits, helping, administrating, exhortation, giving, mercy, evangelism, apostles, tongues, and prophecy. Now, I'd like to say this. This isn't an exhaustive list. Some people include ones such as craftsmanship or even hospitality. And so some people's opinion on these spiritual gifts is that this doesn't give us the wide, these lists that we see in Scripture don't give us the wide variety and range of spiritual gifts that people can have and use within the church.
Yeah, I think we need to be careful, but we about adhering to these lists. We know these are gifts because they're mentioned in the full revelation of God, but we also know there are other gifts and talents and abilities that God uses in and through us on a daily basis. So we want to be careful not to add anything to Scripture. That's not what we're saying here, but just know that there are other opinions about the gifts that we see evidenced in Scripture. And so anyway, we're going to stick with this list. We're going to stick with what's listed in Scripture.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So let's go ahead and break these down, Wes. The first one is teaching. And this is a definition of the teaching gift. And before I give you a definition, please know that it is nearly impossible to give a full definition of each of these gifts. God uses them so uniquely, and oftentimes they're kind of interwoven together to form a kind of a unique gift, kind of like if you took the color red and blue and mixed them together, it would make purple. God uses these gifts in all sorts of ways and in combinations that complement one another. And so just know that these are just very basic definitions, not the full definition. But the first one is teaching. And it says, teachers expound, explicate, and unpack the Word of God, imparting instruction based on truth already revealed, not based on new revelation.
Yeah, that's an important distinction right there, the not based on new revelation. That's really what distinguishes the gift of teaching from, say, the gift of prophecy or really exhortation and some other gifts here on the list. But it's based on the Scriptures. And teaching is an exciting gift. I think I have at least an element of the gift of teaching. It's a passion of mine. But it's teaching the truth and knowledge of God's Word faithfully for the edification of the body.
Great word, Wes. The second one is faith. The gift of faith must refer to an extraordinary faith and vision for the future. And a couple of examples are 1 Corinthians 13:2, where Paul talks about a faith that can move mountains. James 5:15 is exercised by elders when one is sick. Noah, could you read those two verses for us, 1 Corinthians 13:2 and James 5:15?
Alrighty, so here's 1 Corinthians 13:2. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains but have not love, I am nothing.
And then read James 5:15 for us.
In James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven.
In that verse, it's almost as if faith and a gift of healing and miracles overlap, which goes back to what you said previously, that these are not just used in a vacuum or in isolation. They're often combined with one another for the edification of the body and to the glory of Christ.
That's right. And so that moves us on to the next one, which is healing and miracles. And I'll read this definition and listen carefully. Gifts of healings 1 Corinthians 12:9 through 10. And the way this is defined, and I'll let Noah read that here in a second, but someone who has the ability to heal with at least some regularity. This isn't a one-time healing act. This is something that somebody is able to reproduce on a regular basis. So go ahead and read 1 Corinthians 12:9 through 10 for us.
To another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues.
You know, this one's challenging because this gift has been abused throughout church history, and we've seen it, on television, and we've seen people kind of abuse this gift or manifest this gift, kind of fake this gift. And so when you talked about there just being some confusion and maybe some fear around some of the gifts, and, this is the one that a lot of people can get fearful over, and that maybe they've never witnessed it or never really seen it. And so, but it is a real gift, and it is something that we need to take seriously and dive into and study.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The next one is distinguishing between spirits. Sometimes this one can be referred to as discernment, and the definition is the ability to discern between what is true and false. Those who have the gift of discernment know the scriptures well, and thus are particularly equipped to test the spirits to see if they are from God. And one of those supporting scriptures is 1 John 4:1, which Noah will read for us.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world.
Yeah, this distinguishing between spirits, a love, this is a gift and that someone has who's kind of deeply connected and knows the scriptures well. And so just a sort of a reference to that would be Acts 17, when Paul and Silas are in Berea and they go and they speak, and in verse 11 says, "Now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness." And then it says, "examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so." And so when we're discerning, between spirits, if you have this gift, we all need to be diving into God's word, but you've got to be able to examine the scriptures rightly and correctly. And that's true for teachers and everyone who has a gift.
Great word. The next one is helping. This is also referred to as the gift of helps, and it's likely the same as the gift of service. So when I think of this one, I think of deacons here at Harvest, people who serve above and beyond. It's one of the most useful and important gifts in the church is people who serve, people who help. I am probably most encouraged by these folks who give of themselves on a regular basis for the benefit of others.
These are usually some of the most humble servants in the church. And they say, "Oh, no, I'm not, you guys are the teachers and the preachers or whatever." And then I look back at them and I say, "No, absolutely not. You are holding this church together by how you are helping and serving." And so I love the humility of the people with the gifts of helps.
Absolutely. And I love having them all over the church on mission trips, involved in our variety of ministries. It's excellent. We love helpers. The next one's administrating. In the original languages, this word refers to guidance, like piloting or captaining a boat and leading, and godly and visionary leadership so that the church doesn't become stagnant. This is very important.
I like that definition much better. When I think of administration, I think of like organization and just being highly, highly organized, maybe even sort of type A. And that's not me at all. And so historically, I've always thought there's no way I have the gift of administration. But when you kind of put it in that leadership category, it becomes more palpable for a guy like me who's type A and just struggles with organization, or type B and struggles with organization.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The next one is exhortation, and this one can be rather broad, but it includes urging others to live righteously and showing pastoral care to the afflicted and distressed. Think pastoral counseling. And oftentimes, good preaching is a combination of teaching and exhortation.
Let's just jump right in here and make a plug for discipleship, because you know that's the heartbeat of Christ and a heartbeat of Harvest Church as well. all of these gifts can be used in the context of discipleship. But when we talk about pastoral counseling, that's not just reserved for pastors. I mean, you're a friend to many people out there. We hope that when you have friends that are struggling, you're kind of exhorting them towards Christ. And you may not have the gift of mercy and a heart of compassion, but you can, as a disciple maker, which is a gift given to every believer to be a disciple maker, you can practice this gift of exhortation when people are hurting or in distress, and steward their hearts and their minds towards Christ. It's one of my favorite gifts.
Absolutely. The next one is giving. And, you know, part of these gifts is, in some ways, we all are called to play a part in them. But giving, all believers are called upon to be generous and give. But folks with the spiritual gift of giving, give in remarkable and unusual ways. And I think when we think of giving, I think of oftentimes we think primarily of money, but I think it's more of a lifestyle of giving, of resources, of time. I think it can be primarily money, but there are other creative ways to give. The next one is mercy. Those who have the special capacity to minister to those who are hurting. We need these people, don't we, Wes? You're one of these people.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know about that, but absolutely. I appreciate that. And you're shaking your head over there. Well, I don't see myself as having the gift of mercy, but I do think that we see pretty much all of these gifts, maybe with the exception of tongues, manifested in Christ. And so we're gonna be conformed to the image of Christ. We may have some, you know, one gift for sure from the Holy Spirit, or a couple. We'll talk about that in another episode. But man, the gift of mercy, this is, if you say, I don't have the gift of mercy, that doesn't give you the license to kind of be a jerk and not care about people. That would not be Christ-like. And so this is one that we can all work on, and being merciful. And sometimes it's awkward, and sometimes you don't know what to say. But just being a loving voice, being prayerful, being arms, and speaking God's word into the life of someone who's hurting is powerful.
Yeah, and these people are absolutely needed. You know, you might have the spiritual gift of mercy if you find out someone is in the hospital, and your immediate gut reaction is to drop everything you're doing and go to the hospital to be with them. That's just one scenario. And we have people like that all over the church. We have a care team whose job is to show this gift of mercy, and they are so good at it. And so I'm thankful for those people. The next one is evangelism. And again, this is one of those things. We are all to be gospel sharers, gospel proclaimers. But someone with the gift of evangelism is someone who has the particular knack for proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to unbelievers.
Again, this is another one of those gifts that, you know, you may say, I'm not an evangelist, but that's part of discipleship, is that we, in a part of the commands of Christ and the Great Commission and the other Great Commission verses, that we should be ready to proclaim the name of Christ to those who are lost and hurting. And there's various methods. Pepper Horn is one of my favorite human beings on earth. I love traveling with him, and I love watching him share the gospel. He is a broadcaster. Like if you think of agriculture, and you're sowing an agriculture plot. We do this back in East Tennessee. And you get these little handheld bags, or you can do it on a machine or whatever. You're just broadcasting seed. And I love the way he does that. I love watching him scatter the gospel as an evangelist. Me personally, I'm more of a relational evangelist. I think you're this way. I think, Graham, you have possibly a gift of relational evangelism is your method. You also have the gift of administrating, which we could talk about for hours. But we should all be exercising to a certain degree the role of evangelism in our lives, even if we don't have that gift.
Absolutely. All right, the next one is the gift of apostles or apostleship. Now, I'm going to give you two definitions. The first one is a narrow definition, and it's that this gift is restricted to those who have seen the risen Lord and have been commissioned by him. So think the disciples, Acts 1:8, Acts 1 as a whole, really, where he has commissioned the disciples, they become the apostles, and they are his messengers to the church. Well, now there's a less technical definition. That idea, that gift of apostleship, no longer exists. That died with the original apostles. Now, the less technical definition that we apply to this today is those who represent pioneer missionaries, those who are sent but don't have the authority of those who have seen the risen Lord and have been commissioned by him. So when I think of the gift of apostleship, I think of folks who are pioneering new ministries, church planters, in that realm of ministry.
Yeah, there were a few other apostles that we see in Scripture, and Schreiner mentions these. In addition to the 12 that saw the risen Lord Christ, there were some others. Paul, you know, Paul in his conversion on the road to Damascus saw the risen Christ. It seems clear that James, the brother of Jesus, was considered an apostle, and likely Silas and Barnabas as well. But yeah, this office, from that more technical definition, most theologians agree that definition, that's ceased, mm-hmm. because you have to have seen the risen Lord Christ. But then when you broaden it out, I love it. I mean, these are people I get to work with as the missions pastor on a regular basis. They're sort of out there in pioneering missions, church planning, and working with church planters. And it's a neat gift to watch. It's a brave gift. They're all brave gifts, but this one seems to have a bravery and a courageousness about it.
Yep, exactly. The next one is tongues. And this one is probably the most controversial one. And we're going to come back to it on a later episode. We're going to talk about a few of these that are more controversial. But I'll give you a definition for now, and we'll work through that one later. But the gift of tongues is the divine strength or ability to pray in a heavenly language to encourage your spirit and to commune with God. The gift of tongues is often accompanied by interpretation and should be used appropriately.
Let's just bring Ronnie in on this one and call it a day.
Yeah, we'll bring Ronnie in to wrap up spiritual gifts, and we'll let him unpack that one.
Little
for
dad
us.
Joke. I'll just bite my tongue on this one.
Yeah, and then the last one that we'll discuss today is prophecy. The gift of prophecy is the divine strength or ability to communicate God's truth and heart in a way that calls people to act in right relationship with God. And this one is another one of those kind of controversial ones, depending on who you read and their opinion on it. Some people hold that it's more controversial than others. And the reason is that when we think of a prophet, we think of an Old Testament prophet that's adding to the words of God. And so in today's world, we think that you could take this gift of prophecy and wrongly understand it, that these people can add to the words of God. And what a couple of guys that I've read have said is that it's really unpacking the words we have of God. And it kind of, one of those that kind of gels with teaching.
Yeah, that's right. So prophecy, as we see it in Scripture, again, utterances from the Lord to the prophets for a specific purpose, for the unfolding of his revelation and his plan and purpose. And I would personally say that some of the, in my personal belief on this, is that kind of the future prophetic, the future telling, the certainly any utterances of new revelation, that's ceased, you know, with the Scriptures. But I do love this idea of being able to, it reminds me of 2 Timothy, rightly handling the word of truth and being able to kind of draw a dividing line of black and white and truth telling to people who need it. And so from that prophetic stance, and that's what they did in the Old Testament. That was part of their job was, and if, when Jesus came on the scene, that's why we say he's the last prophet, priest, and king. He came on and he says, and he tells the clear truth. He gets right to the heart of the matter. And so prophets can kind of, who have this gift, who can declare the truth and get right to the heart. You know, that sometimes they're your friends that you don't go ask advice to because you don't want to hear what they have to say, even though you know it's probably something you need to hear and it's from the Lord. So this is a cool gift. I can't wait to hear Ronnie unpack some of these more tough gifts to understand.
And you might say, but aren't prophets talked about all through the New Testament? Yes, but you also have to understand they didn't have the canon, the full canon. They didn't all have their own Bible like we do today. And so God had to reveal himself through these people and his words through these people so that we can enjoy the Scriptures as we have them today. Well, that's enough for this week, I believe. We've given you several definitions for several of the spiritual gifts. And again, this isn't an exhaustive list. Feel free to go and do your own research on this. But I hope that is helpful. I hope it's clarifying. I hope it removes some of the confusion. Just as a reminder, what our definition of spiritual gifts is that spiritual gifts are gifts of grace granted by the Holy Spirit, which are designed for the edification of the church.
So three key elements in there. Number one, they're spiritual. So they're given to us, you know, really through the Trinity, but through the Holy Spirit. They are a gift. They are given to us, and it's for the purpose of edifying others. So spiritual gift for others.
Yes. Amen. All right. Next week, we will discuss 10 truths about spiritual gifts that will help us navigate our understanding of our own gifts and how to apply them in our church. But hey, before you sign off and push pause, do us a favor and subscribe to the podcast and share it with your friends, family, and other members of our church.